Who doesn't love a good one-liner? The three of us absolutely do. And on today's episode, we throw out some of the greatest and most memorable one-liners in cinematic history. Bits of dialogue fly like shrapnel as we quote the king of one-liners, Arnold Schwarzenegger, as well as Samuel Jackson, Michael Douglas, Prince, Clancy Brown, and even Whoopi Goldberg. Plus, you know, Dwight loves him some Star Wars. We won't spoil the conversation here, but needless to say, a good time was had by all. Two quick disclaimers. As fate would have it, we ended up misquoting a few of our picks. Hey, don't roast this too hard. And also, this episode was off the rails pretty much from the rip. There's no formal intro to speak of, so strap in, thanks for listening, and
hasta la vista, baby.
Good morning, Dr. Silverman. How's the knee?
Did you just have a brain fart?
I know Taekwondo.
Stop eating my sesame cake.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Fuck with me, and we'll see who shits on the sidewalk.
Come quietly, or there will be trouble.
Clearly, I wasn't talking to you, big titties. You cherub-looking motherfucker.
While you were still learning how to spell your name. I was being trained to conquer galaxies.
The real question is, what are those?
Well, I'll go ahead and start things off because one of my favorites, and somebody, somebody on YouTube was kind enough to put a supercut together of it.
Okay.
But it's a line from many, many, many movies.
Mm-hmm.
Has definitely, made its way into the mainstream use and is repeated often. But it is the ever iconic, "You look like shit."
the Wilhelm scream of one-liners.
That is it. That is it. I think the supercut, I don't know how long it is, but I remember it being long. And, it's such a short line, but everybody has used it. And it's one of those things like, it's like the term badass or a number of different things, mm-hmm. That we say over the years that have just somehow remained like vibrant. And like you could say it today and it'd be like, yeah, people, you do look like shit.
Yeah.
Like right now, so we could probably rattle off a bunch of them.
How can I put this delicately? You look like shit.
Jesus, Will. You look like shit.
You look like shit.
You look like shit.
You look like shit.
Yeah, what happened?
Just haven't been feeling so good.
Jesus, Steve, you look like shit. Aren't you feeling any better?
You look like shit. What's your secret?
You look like shit. What's wrong?
What's wrong? You look like shit.
What's wrong with you?
I'm fine.
You look like shit, man.
You look like shit, man. Here, have another beer. This will make you feel better.
But another one that I thought about, only because we watched it the other night, it was running on cable,
yeah.
Was Liam Neeson's classic line from the movie Taken.
Yes, you.
I have a particular set of skills.
Yes. Yeah, that's awesome.
And even the rest of it where he says, and it makes me difficult for a person like you, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I have a particular set of skills.
If you let my daughter go, that will be that. I won't come after you.
Right.
But if you don't, I will find you.
Right.
And I will kill you.
Yeah, yo.
Oh, man. What about you guys?
Man, I was, I started earlier in the week just thinking about and just like we were intimating before the mics really came on, just jotting them down just as they came to me, just almost vomiting them out, so to speak.
You fired them off, yeah?
Yeah, yo. I mean, shoot, that's, I could have been a contender. Marlon Brando on the waterfront.
Yeah.
A man's got to know his limitations. Harry Callahan, Magna Force, 1973.
Wow. Do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do you?
Exactly. I had that one too. Dirty Harry, 1971.
The one that I like about that one, because it starts off so sinister. So I know what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Five shots? Was it six? Does he have one more left?
In all this excitement, I forgot myself.
Damn.
But you have to ask yourself one thing.
I know what you're thinking, Punk. You're thinking, did he fire six shots or only five? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself in all this excitement. But being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Punk?
Do you feel lucky? Well, and he gives a smirk with it when he first delivers the line. Well, do you, Punk? But at the end of the movie, he repeats the line again as if it's a coda.
Yeah.
To finally finding a serial killer. And now he says it with vengeance. Like, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, Punk? And I guess he felt lucky and he lost.
Wow.
Luck was not in his, it was not in his favor.
That's right. I didn't write this one down, so I'm gonna need some help with this one, but it just came to mind when you were talking about cop movies and cop shows. I'm looking back to I want to shoot you so bad, my dick is hard. You know,
New Jack City, Ice-T, Scotty Appleton.
That's it. What's Scotty? What's his character?
Scotty, Ice-T from New Jack City.
That's it. 1990-something.
1991.
Well, since we're talking about New Jack City, we can't skip over the always eternally classic.
Oh, yeah.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
That's it. Nino Brown, yo.
Yeah, yo.
And maybe even throw in, because I will say this from time to time, man, we all we got.
There you go. CLB. CLB.
With the Cash Money Brothers. That's
yeah.
What
they call.
Yeah.
CLB.
No. No, B. No.
Oh, yeah, man.
You got another one, D?
Oh, yeah. This is from the list. You have to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Ah, my boy, Prince. 1984. Was it 84?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prince is the kid.
Yeah. Talking to Apollonia. I don't know if you guys know this, but when they shot that, it was in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah?
It was not the summer. So when she jumped in the water, it was freezing freaking cold.
I saw the evidence in certain parts of her body.
The soldiers were standing at attention.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I'm from the Midwest, as D is as well. Mm. So, you know, Minnesota winters are no joke, yo.
Mm-mm.
Sure. Mm-mm.
Absolutely no joke.
Because you wouldn't pass the initiation.
What initiation?
Well, for starters, you have to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
What?
You have to purify yourself in Lake Minnetonka.
What about, and this is one that we all can, everybody listening probably who's a fan of the genre can agree, There Is No Fate. From Terminator?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was waiting for you to finish the rest of it. But what we make.
He doesn't really finish it in the first movie. They actually add more to it as the series goes on.
Mm-hmm.
He says John Connor tells him there is no fate. And then later on they say there is no fate, you know, only what you make, you know, as far as the future is concerned. I don't think they actually say the whole thing in the first Terminator.
No, that's what threw me, because you know I'm an aficionado of the first one. Okay.
Yeah. And then in the second one, she actually carves in the table. She just says no fate.
Right.
And that's when she goes after Miles Dyson.
There you go. And you know, interesting thing about while we're on the Terminator, man, a couple of one-liners do come to mind. The first one is the Eternal. From the first one, come with me if you want to live.
Right.
Kyle Reese. All right.
Yeah.
And then they flip it to make Arnold said in the second one.
Right.
Also to Sarah Connor, when she's trying to, when they're trying to break her out of the institution. Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah.
So it's a very yin and yang, very, you know what I'm saying.
It was well done, man.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very circular in terms of bringing that around. You know what I'm saying?
Not to derail the conversation, but I was going to tell you guys, I could almost make an argument that Terminator 2 is a better movie than Terminator 1. For some of those reasons.
No. I stab at thee. Which should be quotable, but I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, man. You know, we got to do that on a future episode, because, man, I bet if we going to be at it like Ali and Frazier, yo.
Hey, man. I'm ready. I think I could do it. I could be a contender, yo.
There you go. Bring it all around. There you go.
Right.
And then the other one I wanted to say from Terminator 2 is Hasta la vista, baby. But get this though. A lot of people don't make this connection, man. That came from that Jody Watley song.
That's true.
Nobody ever makes that connection.
She did it first?
Yes.
You're certain?
Yeah.
Yes, because the screenplay itself was in development for a number of years. And if you remember in kind of the timeline,
yeah,
this would have been about 88 when Jody Watley was real hot. You know what I'm saying? She had a string of hits. You know what I'm saying? And there was a throwaway line in one of her songs. I'm searching for a new love.
I'm looking for a new love, baby. Yeah.
Exactly. And then she does a spoken word at the kind of an interlude towards the end. She's like, some, hasta la vista, baby.
I got it. And now you like the rest, unworthy of my best.
That's it.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And I will tie it in further real quick. D mentioned a quote from Prince Purple Rain. That song was produced by Andre Simone, Prince's former band member.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He and Jody Watley ended up dating and having a child together, but he produced that whole album, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because it had some joints over there. Okay. Yeah.
But now you like the rest, unworthy of my best. Hasta la vista, baby. You know that I needed you.
Yeah, that's all I want to say in terms of that with the Terminator, because, you know, I'll extrapolate even further to say, you know, have you ever thought that the prevalence of one-liners really didn't come into vogue until the 80s?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And especially within popular culture, not just as far as like us as, you know, viewers, you know, spouting these lines back, but also it reached into politics. Consider this. In the 80s, when Reagan was running for president.
Right.
When Sudden Impact came out and Dirty Harry had that one-liner, the eternal, go ahead, make my day.
Right.
Why did Reagan incorporate that into his campaign? And soon thereafter.
Go ahead, make my day.
And got raucous applause and claps for it because people simultaneously realized what the line was, and it was red hot around then. You know what I'm saying? But also made him seem like, oh man, he's going to get tough on whatever this topic is. Oh, he's going to crack down on it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and then also, I know this isn't film related, but he also came up with another one-liner when he was telling Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Down that wall.
You know, just the one-liner just really became something really starting in the 80s.
You gotta think about it, man. He was, to your point, man. You're right. He was an actor first,
and he knew how to
stage a scene, how to craft a scene. So he knew those simple, you know, zingers worked into his base, basically. And it was a rally cry, you know, almost like Avengers Assemble, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we as fans, we start talking in one-liners too, because it kind of puts yourself in a peer group at once. Like, you know, if I say a certain thing, you, Dwight, you, Swain, know exactly what I mean. And if we go to certain conventions or around other people and we say the same thing, they recognize exactly what we're talking about. It's like that that mind meld almost, you know, like, oh man, we're fans of the same thing. We're peers of the same thing. Cool. So it's already just that instant connection, so to speak, to build on.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, I think that that may have started the whole creating art and media, and the quality of your media is judged by how well it references other pop culture things.
Mm.
So you see the maybe the ultimate representation of it in something like Shrek, which is not really a great movie, but it references so many other great pieces of pop culture and other Disney stories and whatnot that it's considered great.
Okay.
By association almost, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And actually it's not a one liner, but there is a line from the movie High Fidelity, which stars John Cusack, where his character says, "It's what you like, not what you are like." And he's talking about how in nerd culture, they were music nerds, but in nerd culture, the books, the music, the movies, the things that you consider to be good, great, and that are yours, that says more about you than actually what you are like as a person. So, you know, so thus you find like in nerd culture where people desperately, you know, us, we desperately don't want people to think that we like something that we think is whack, because we think that says something about us if they think we like something whack. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I went through your search history and I saw, like, you know, St. Elmo's Fire or some shit, I'd be like, really, dude? St. Elmo's Fire? The fuck?
Hey, man. Hey, man, Rat Pack. Hey, man, Brat Pack, man.
Hey, man.
But you get what I'm getting, what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. I'm just like, speaking of which, you know, rest in peace, Joel Schumacher, who, that was, his flick, one of his flicks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But speaking a lot of you know, great Schwarzenegger one-liners, man. Schwarzenegger was the king of one-liners in the 80s, dude. I mean, he pretty much brought us another level, dude. And the one that everybody always gets, man, is "I'll be back."
Oh, of course.
Which is Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator, but he also Terminator 1984. But he also reprises that same slogan, which is the response is even funnier because that Richard Dawson was a great comedian and also / actor from the early 60s from
Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes, and the first host of Family Feud. But the character he played in 1987's Running Man was Ben Richards, where he says, "I'll be back." And Richard Dawson says, "Only in the reruns."
and isn't that crazy how in just 3 years, that line, "I'll be back," became so iconic that they were able to reprise that and get a huge laugh in another movie.
Yeah.
On your marks, get set.
Killian, I'll be back.
Only in a rerun.
Go!
You know what's funny is Arnold Schwarzenegger did a series of commercials for some cell phone company, I believe it was. And there's actually one where he's like walking through a bunch of explosions and all this stuff. And he says, "My phone is blowing up." So you see the people who hired him for the commercial, you know, trying to cash in on his, you know, his connection to being, you know, the, you know, one of the kings of the one-liners.
Right.
So...
And you can't go past the 80s without a couple of more iconic one-liners. Perhaps one of the more iconic is actually from 1988 with Die Hard, John McClane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yo.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I remember going to see that with my mom in the theater, man. And
oh, that was uncomfortable.
When he said that, oh man. But yeah, man, like it just, you know, when Willis says that, like the theater just erupted in applause, but like, yeah, oh woo!
Right, you know,
that's the power of those one-liners, like to just galvanize the audience. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, like going to the movies was already a very social experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't know the people sitting in front of you or to your right or your left or behind you. But in this one moment, all of y'all are connected through this delivery of this line, this image in front of you right now. And it's something that all of you collectively will be able to take with you out into the world and spout. You know, that's just so cool, you know?
And that's very, very powerful, man. I didn't thought about that, man. You know, it's a very much a social experience that you know, no matter what your upbringing is, and no matter what your beliefs are, socially beyond the theater, you all agree to be in that moment together to sit down and watch this movie together, regardless of who you are as people. At that point in time, you all can agree that this is either a good or a bad movie based on what you're seeing. You know, that's powerful, man.
And it's crazy how, you know, a one-liner will make you turn to a total stranger in a movie, like, and high five, like,
that's true.
I don't know if y'all have ever done that. I've done that a couple of times, because it was like, yeah, man. You know?
I'm sure Swain and I had this experience at the same time. We weren't at the movie theater at the same time, but we can agree on this, man. But when the end of the first Avengers movie, when Thanos showed up, man.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I stood up, yo.
Yeah.
I stood up during that moment, and I stood up during the second X-Men when Nightcrawler teleported from the plane and got Rogue and then teleported back. Right. I was like, that's my shit, yo.
Oh, yeah.
That was all me. But you know what? Staying with Die Hard, I have to admit that in my personal life, I am always keen to quote Theo and say, and the quarterback is toast.
There you go. Oh, no, about that. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, so many. Oh, man.
That's funny, man. Yeah.
I was going to mention Denzel as Alonzo Harris in Training Day.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
He's got several lines. The most famous one is, of course, you know, I'm King Kong. I can't even think of it now, what the line is.
King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Ain't got nothing on me. Yeah, that's it. That's the big line. But the ones that I quote are always, and my favorite is, I'm putting cases on all you bitches. And then he also says, he calls this guy, he says, you disloyal, fool-ass, bitch-made punk. Not a punk. Yep. Punk. And that always stood out to me, where I was like, wow, that's something else.
Yeah, that was hurtful.
Very hurtful.
So my next one would be man, you come right out of a comic book.
Oh yeah, come on. Oh yeah.
Jim Kelly is Williams, End of the Dragon, 1973.
Williams. <Is it?
laughs> And I guess another follow up to that one would be, I'll take you, and you.
And it's so funny that they reprised that in a Rush Hour 2 with Chris Tucker.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. That was funny. He's not fighting ass.
now, what about like, classic one-liners that kind of preceded the era, I guess, we would know for one-liners. Like, you know, movies from, like, the 40s, 50s, and even the 60s. You know, I have several of those that, you know, I was thinking of. You know, for instance...
Bring him, sir.
Citizen Kane, 1941.
Rosebud.
All you gotta say... And that one line right there has spawned so many television episodes, so many
references,
movies.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, everyone has, it seems like a TV series or a movie, so many have had like that Rosebud plot point. Mm-hmm. They're looking for something that really doesn't exist. It exists, but it's also metaphorical as well. The loss of something or something like that. You also have... from 1950, Sunset Boulevard. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeVille. Yes, Mr. DeMille. Yeah. And just the mania of that moment. I love that movie. The mania of that moment where she's totally shut off from the real world and she's inside her own bubble, and she just closes in on the camera, closes in on the frame, and everything goes dark. Oh, I love that movie, and I love that ending. Oh, my goodness. Man.
The cameras and those wonderful people out there in the dark. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Oh, man. And then, and pardon me if anyone's a fan of this, from 1939, the whack-ass, punk fuck-ass, Gone with the Wind. Fuck that shit. Okay. Clark Gable. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck the movie, but the line is good. Then last one from that point I was going to make. 1967, In the Heat of the Night, Sidney Poitier. They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, yeah.
And on that point right there, that's powerful on several levels. Mm-hmm. One, you have a black man at that point in time in the cinema speaking up like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? On screen against the white man. You really did not see that. Hardly ever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then also, just that line is so definitive. It puts a punctuation on it. They call me Mr. Tibbs, which was also the name of
the last
movie in the trilogy. It was a trilogy of them. The second one was The Organization, the most boring movie you will ever see. And then They Call Me Mr. Tibbs in 1971, which was equally as boring. Don't look them up. Sorry, Sidney. The movies is whack. Go ahead.
Well, you're pretty sure of yourself, ain't you, Virgil? Virgil, that's a funny name for a nigga boy that comes from Philadelphia. What do they call you up there?
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
As far as old movies that go back, you know, you've got James Cagney's famous line from, it might have been Public Enemy number one. You dirty rat, you killed my brother.
That's not from Public. That's not from Public Enemy.
Is it White Heat?
Mm-mm. But come back to White Heat though.
Little Caesar, or Caesar something.
He was not a Little Caesar. That was Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson. Okay.
You might be thinking of Angels with Dirty Faces.
It might be Angels with Dirty Faces. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Encyclopedia Adrian for the win.
That's it.
Man, I love all them gangster movies, man. All them Warner Brothers gangster movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also from Casablanca, Vola Gin Joints and All the World, you know, She Had to Walk into Mine. It's something like that. I'm paraphrasing it. I'm actually not quoting it.
I think that's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's another one as well. Adrian, I thought about one that, you know, it came out in the 80s, I believe, The Color Purple. And it wasn't intended to be quotable in any way, but it is one that has been quoted and repeated.
Yes.
And that's Until You Do Right By Me, Everything You Think About Is Going to Crumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people have said that. I remember it being quoted in Queen Latifah's song, UNITY. Mm. And people said that a lot, you know, as especially like in black culture.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It gets referenced a lot. That movie gets referenced a lot, but that line gets referenced a lot, too, as... You know, hey, you know, if you do me wrong, you know, nothing good is going to come to you. That's almost mm-hmm. like a paraphrase that you hear people say of that actual line from The Color Purple.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned The Color Purple and particularly with black culture, because there's quite a few one-liners that come from that movie that I've heard all my life.
Oh, yeah.
After that movie came out in 85.
Oh, yeah.
Such as the ubiquitous, it's going to rain on your head. And the little boy with the hole in the roof. All my life I had to fight. Oprah Winfrey telling Seeley, Harpo beat me. Harpo beat me.
I hate to laugh, yo, but I dislike Oprah so much, I have to.
Yes, yes. I'm in arms akimbo with you, exactly.
Wow. Well, he's on Oprah, dog. But yo, another one from that same flick, man, that everybody gets, man, is like, You show is ugly.
Ugh. Yes.
I was like, wow, that was hard, bro.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's crazy, man. But jumping ahead from 85 to 86, another one-liner that I thought about that gets quoted very often in nerd culture and quite a bit in popular culture is Bill Paxton in Aliens. Game over, man. Game over.
Yes. Yeah, man. Yes.
That might be the one-liner, sir. Right next to Arnold. I'll be back with Arnold, man.
Yeah, because he's talking about the situation that they're in. He's like, man, we're surrounded by these aliens, and
we just got our fucking asses handed to us, man.
Hudson, shut the fuck up. but then also you do have the prevalence of arcade games and video games coming to the fore. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Around that time in reality. So it was very meta almost in a sense. Like, game over is what happens when you lose an arcade game. And you would see that all the time. Game over. You know?
Bill Paxton, prescient soothsayer, dude.
Exactly.
So, let's see. One that's, I'm sure Swain went to sleep on in the theater because he said so. I'll do a short version of it. I'll do a long version of it. The one that everybody knows in pop society, pop culture, is One Ring to Rule Them All.
Yes.
From Sir Ian McKellen as Gandalf the Grey, Lord of the Rings, 2001. But the full line goes,
Maldo.
In the common tongue, it says, One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness, find them.
That's my shit!
Yes, yeah.
That's my shit! Right. And the beauty of the ring, man, was that, you know, he gives it to them as gifts. You know, like, oh, thank you very much, sir. This is very nice of you. Who are you again? He's like, I'm Sauron, bitch. But he didn't say that.
Put that big eye on him.
You know, not realizing, okay, you take these rings at your own peril, you know, and that's like, it's like, I'm appealing to your vanity, but I'm controlling it instead of appealing to your vanity.
Yeah.
And that's what the rings represent. So that's powerful, dude. It's powerful.
Man, another flick that came out just a year before that, man, in 2000, mm-hmm. and I've heard this quoted many, many times. Gladiator. Are you not entertained?
Right.
Yeah, yo, that was powerful, though.
It was, man. It was.
Oh, man. But another one that came to me was from 1987. Mm. Michael Douglas, Wall Street. Greed is good. Gordon Gekko.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, summarizes the whole, well, not the whole of the 80s, but definitely the mid to the rest of the 80s.
For sure.
Right there. That whole jet set, you know, masters of the universe, mm-hmm. Wall Street, Billionaire Boys Club type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Greed is good.
There was even a TV show called The Billionaire's Boy Club. You know, it came on TV for a while. Remember that? I was like, come on.
Yeah, I remember something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Pharrell had the clothing line based off of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they did a film, oddly enough, called The Billionaire Boys Club that actually tanked on arrival because it starred Kevin Spacey. And this was just after the announcement of his... those accusations, you know, of sexual misconduct in his part. So,
right.
So the movie was DOA. It died on arrival, yo.
Dang. Welp.
As it should, yo. As it should.
Yep.
Man, what else y'all got?
I was just gonna say too. As far as that was something that people did quote quite a bit, and it was the beginning. If you go back, it was kind of the beginning of Michael Douglas's Prince of Darkness period.
Mm.
You know, as an actor, those roles of, you know, these rich, powerful guys,
mm-hmm.
You know, he played several of them. That was a big one. The one from The Game was a big one.
Mm. The Game was good, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Game was really, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He played a few more. A couple more I wanted to throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
One was from The Untouchables, Sean Connery's character. He would say multiple times, it's the Chicago way. You know?
Yes.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that it was funny. I never heard it quoted or repeated, but I always thought it was iconic because, you know, that was the whole point. The way we do things here is different. If you're going to get Capone, you're going to have to get Capone differently than what you're thinking. You're not going to be able to use traditional police methods. And then, of course, ultimately, they got Capone based on tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oddly enough.
Exactly.
And then he died in jail, syphilis, right? Or some kind of.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to go, yeah.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
Oh man, I just thought of a big one that I didn't think if we were gonna bring it up or not, but it's staring you right in the face.
What's that?
1983. Al Pacino, Scarface.
Oh, yeah.
Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, my goodness.
That's like right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's classic, man. That's classic.
Oh, man. And you know, and that's the film right there that has, you know, quite a few one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know, Pacino talking about, and fuck the fucking Diaz brothers. I buried those cockroaches.
Yeah.
Chi-Chi, get the yayo. Get the yayo, Chi-Chi.
What was the guy's name? It's like Costco or something like that. I never liked him. You know, he was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh man,
great show, man. Great show. Let's see. So I have a couple more like semi Star Wars related ones. No, I'll tell you what. Let's do the one that I talked to Bernard today, man. B-Dub, man, in Colorado, man. And I mentioned the Blues Brothers, man, and he came, we're talking about Blues Brothers and things, and he came up with one more Arnold one that's actually kind of repeated several times throughout different movies, and it's the, get down!
Yeah. Well, you know? And also, Get to the Chopper is one.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, that people quoted quite a bit. Even Arnold said when he was governor of California for a time, he said he would be making speeches at important places, and he said someone would be in the crowd and he would just yell, "Get to the chopper!" Oh man,
it's kind of,
yeah. And in the same vein, you could also say, also from Predator, "If it bleeds, we can kill it."
I mean, well, there's a lot from Predator, man. I mean, even Sonny, my man Sonny, he was like, it's like, Sonny, you ain't afraid of no man. There's something out there, and it ain't no man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes.
And then what's the obvious one, D? What's the one that you always quote?
He goes, "We all gonna die."
No, uh-uh.
No, not that
I'm
one.
I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
Tutti Frutti, all Rudy.
Bill Duke. I'm gonna have me some fun.
Right. Long time, Sonny. Chill, Bill Sweet. Get every day. Uncle Johnny.
Johnny.
just a great freaking movie, man. It's a great freaking movie, dude. From beginning to middle. Beginning, middle, end, dude. It was just always good, dude.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Dylan? You're getting soft? Pushing too many pencils?
My favorite is anytime I see somebody I haven't seen in a long time, Dylan, you son of a bitch.
That's why I joined you. Oh, man.
Yep.
All right, what about this one, yo? What about this one, yo? 1979, The Warriors.
Yes, man.
Warriors, come out and play.
Do it again, yo.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Warriors, come out and play. Like, he just had to put the little screech, that little witchy screech on it. And, you know, he said he ad-libbed that. The actor, I think it was David Patrick Kelly.
Yeah.
He said he ad-libbed that. He just picked up some bottles, and he started clanking them together on his fingertips. And he started doing it. And then Walter Hill, the director, okay, roll camera. And he just went into it.
Wow.
Instantly memorable, you know?
Man, that dude's always good with that, man. He also plays Sully, man, in Commando, dude.
Oh, there you go.
How do you say it? Remember when I said I killed you last, Sully? I lied.
Yeah. He also too, as an older gentleman, he plays the like the cleaner character in the very first John Wick movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I saw him in there. You're right. Yeah, I saw him in there. Dude.
Yeah, he comes in with his crew and cleans up John Wick's house, and John Wick gives him a coin as payment. Yeah, same actor. So. I had a couple other quick ones, and some of these are kind of hood based, but
okay, do it
from the movie Friday. Bye, Felicia.
There you go. Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. Bye, Felicia.
That became a whole thing too, man.
You got Halle Berry from her Oscar-winning performance in Monsters Ball. Wow. Make me feel good. Make me feel good.
Oh no.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, you could have excised that for the record, man.
Yeah, oh. I know. I hate it, yo. It had to be done.
Oh.
Speaking of Halle Berry, man, it's just another one. It's not like a one-liner, but it is a one-liner, but it's like unintentional. The typical double entendre. Mm-hmm. When they put women in those sexual positions and things to be part of James Bond's desire. There's at the end of that movie she was in with James Bond, Die Another Day.
Okay.
Off camera, you hear say, "Put it back in, James."
Oh, I don't remember that. Wow.
Yeah. And of course, she's talking about a diamond, of course. That's what it was, a diamond inside of her navel. But it was like, okay. It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's where we're going with this?
That's when she was actually, people were talking about, you know, maybe they should launch a, you know, her character, Jinx.
Right.
In her own series. Mm-hmm. And it never happened. And right. Oddly enough, she was actually pretty good in the John Wick 3 Parabellum. She was actually pretty good in that as the Sophia character.
All right.
Her acting was, it was kind of typical Halle Berry acting. Mm-hmm. But in terms of her charisma and the action and, you know, her character as this, you know, this particular kind of a person, you know, living a... you know, an estranged life from her daughter. You know, she has to stay away from her daughter. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. But another one from the Hood Files, Pookie, going back to New Jack City. It be calling me.
Oh, man, yes. Oh, yes.
It's true.
As he sucks on that glass dick one more time.
There you go. Yeah. Yo. You know, also from New Jack City, yo, Vanessa Williams in there, Vanessa L. Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, yo, I forgot what her character's name was in there. But whenever she pops somebody, she's like, "Rock-a-bye, baby."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
She was hard body in that,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, she was, man. She was no joke, man. She put that Jamaican dude's head out, man, in the middle of the street, dude.
Yeah.
He was like, "That's how you kill somebody."
Yeah, yeah.
Broad daylight.
Right?
Rock-a-bye, baby.
Another one from New Jack City that it's probably just a New York saying that I had never heard at that time, which was probably, what, 90, 91? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, is when they kept saying, "See ya," and I wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, that was everywhere. That shit got played
out. Yeah, it did. It did,
Lord.
It did. But going back to Denzel, whom we mentioned earlier as Alonzo Harris in Training Day, he has a line from the movie Malcolm X, directed by Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
From one of his famous speeches as the character Malcolm X, where he says, "You have been hoodwinked."
There you go.
Bamboozled.
Yes, sir.
Led astray. Run away.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that was definitely one that stayed with me, you know,
mm-hmm.
Over the years. But
That's funny. I've heard so many people quote that too. You know, just in like comedy routines or whatever, or like just in everyday talk. Like somebody got over on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Trying to complain about that. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I should have said this with by Felicia, but Chris Tucker's line from toward the end of the movie Friday when he says, "You got knocked the fuck out."
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know this, man. Yeah,
yeah. Man, yeah. We leave it off a big one.
What's that?
A big one, man.
What's that?
1994, Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah, that's yours,
you know, man. And you know what I, you know what I'm about to say, man.
Bring it, yeah.
I'm about to get medieval on your ass.
Yes,
yeah, sure. Yeah, yo. You hear me talking to you, hillbilly boy?
And bring me some Pipe Willing Brothers up in here.
go to work on the homes here.
For the rest of his short ass life.
No, the best part about that line is not that line. It's the line that precedes it where he says,
"I'm gonna call a couple of hard pipe hitting niggas to go to work on the homes here with a pair of pliers and a blowtorch. You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I ain't through with you by damn sight. I'ma get medieval on your ass."
Just the poetic almost musicality of that, the way it almost has timbers to it.
Yeah.
To set that up, man. Yeah. Yeah, yo.
And while we're talking about Pulp Fiction, we have to really definitely talk about them. There's many quotable lines and references that people make to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a movie, you know, that kind of changed cinema in many ways. If ever there was one that could kind of be considered an instant classic, that was it.
Mm.
You know, I was just trading text messages with our friend Jason Lamb, and I sent him the link for the new The Boys season 2 trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he sent me back a gif of Samuel Jackson. Shit, Negro, that's all you had to say.
Yes. I think we've used that too, just amongst ourselves. Yeah, right? Man.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
But yeah, that one was everywhere. Yeah.
And I think another one too, and even my mother has used this line.
Oh,
because she loves the movie Pulp Fiction, where Uma Thurman's character says, "That's a little bit more information than I needed to know, but okay," when he tells her he's going to go take a piss.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I've said this to Adrian and maybe to Dwight and to a couple other buddies, too, just in passing, slipping it in.
Mm-hmm.
When I said, "I think at the end of all this, you're going to find yourself to be one smiling motherfucker."
Yes. Oh, man. Shoot. That whole little speech right there that Ving Rhames was giving Bruce Willis was full of just one-liners and quotables.
Yeah, man.
You know, like every stanza was a quotable, man.
Mm-hmm. It was set up as such. Even the little vignettes leading up to and beyond that. The whole movie, man, was full of them, dude. So,
when he tells him, he tells Bruce Willis, he says, this game is full of people who think that their asses are going to age like fine wine. If you mean it gets better, it don't.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tells his boy, he says, "I'm prepared to scour the earth for this motherfucker. I want a nigga waiting in a bowl of rice in China to pop a cap in his ass."
Right.
But
go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to say, and then Jules was just Samuel Jackson. This was probably the movie. It reinvigorated John Travolta's career. And it really launched, Uma Thurman in a bigger way, and Ving Rhames in a big way, and established Samuel Jackson as just a plain old movie star, in my opinion. I mean, I could be off. I know he had done many things prior to this.
Yeah.
But this was really the role where, and what's crazy is, Ving Rhames actually read for the Jules Winfield part.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
And ended up getting the Marcellus Wallace part. But when he says, and this is another one that I will throw in conversation casually. "I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?" and then the whole exchange with Brett, which kind of made you hungry when he said,
"Big Kahuna Burger."
Big Kahuna Burger. That's that Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they got some tasty burgers. I ain't never had one myself. How are they?
They're good.
You mind if I try one of yours? This is yours here, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
And the last one that I'll throw in conversation is I'll tell somebody in a minute. Look at the big brain on bread.
Man.
No, and the same way I forgot, yo, was shooting Marvin in the head, yo, wasn't something they said. That's just something that happened, right?
It just happened,
okay,
exactly.
Okay, because I forgot. It seemed like it was such a talking point, speaking point with Phil Lamar when we spoke to him. It's like almost like I've forgotten that whether it was a sequence of events where he actually was talking to him, and then because he was talking to him in the back seat, and it happened, and the gun just went off.
Yeah, well,
right.
He claims it just went off. He said, the gun didn't know goddamn just went off.
Oh man, yeah. I was gonna say we also missing another big one that has personal relevance to me. In particular.
Okay.
1976, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky. Yo, Adrian!
Okay.
If I can relate the millions of times that people have quoted that to me.
Yeah.
I'd be rich.
Yeah. Seriously.
Exactly. Yo, Adrian! Like, oh really? Okay.
All right.
Check it. When I first started working at the company that I work for now, when I first took the position, one of the guys who was training me, he was telling me, he said, we have a technician who works out of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to tell you his name. He said, but don't mention it to him when you talk to him. And the guy's name is Jack Bauer.
Nice.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
Yeah, spelled exactly the same way.
That's cool.
So, yeah. So he never wants to hear about it because the show 24 was so popular and was so ubiquitous.
Right. Yep. That's cool.
It's our curse. It's our curse.
Right. spelled differently though. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But no one I want to bring up, man, is your boy, man. Don't I keep the heat on?
Oh, from Purple Rain, Clarence Williams III.
Yeah, yo, the kid daddy.
Yeah.
From 1984, Purple Rain, yo.
Don't I keep the heat on?
All right. Because it's what, yo, you're nothing but a sinner. You're always stepping out on me, you're nothing but a sinner.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
And when he tells Prince, you're going to get married? Never get married.
Dang.
It's true.
Man, Clarence Williams, man, he would just bring that, I don't know how to describe it, just that creepy quality to a lot of the roles that he took, like that breathy just, so, what do you want? That type of thing, like, okay, Link, calm down.
Ever since the Mod Squad, yeah, he's been bringing that
exactly,
vibe.
Exactly,
yeah.
Calm down, bro.
Yeah, man.
He was awesome with that, though, in Deep Cover.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Deep Cover. Oh, yeah.
52 mm-hmm. Pickup with Roy Scheider.
I need to see that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And that's a great 70s crime thriller.
Mm.
And even as the funny drug dealer in Half Baked.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that, yo. You know what? I did see it, actually. I did see it. I forgot his role in it, though, man.
Yeah, he was the like it was like Mr. Mello or something like that. He was the funny drug dealer.
Okay.
Who popped up at the end of the movie. And that's actually a movie that has one that's quoted quite a bit. Where the Cuban characters, I forgot his name, he's being fired from his job or he quits either. And he says, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool." And fuck you.
I think his character in the movie, they just called him Scarface.
I think it was Scarface or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scarface.
If anybody has any more, I was just going to ask a couple of quick questions just to kind of, you know, I wanted you guys to kind of ponder, but, okay. You know, as it relates to classic one-liners, you know, memorable one-liners, quotables, if you will, like, why do these things stay with us, man? Like, why do what, you know, what makes something uniquely stay with us versus something that, you know, goes out into the pop ethos and becomes, you know, part of that, you know? What's the differences? What do you think, you know, sets them apart? Is it just, you know, the perfect storm of the moment in terms of when you hear them and how it hits you, or, you know, what is it, you know?
It's all those things, man. Like you said, man, it's where you are in your life at that point in time. It's the effectiveness of the story with the character that's mentioning it and saying it. You know, it's how it relates to you at that point in time, and the really the best ones, man, are the ones that hit all three of those things at the same time, like where you are in your lifetime, where it's executed in the story, and who's saying it.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I'm sorry, dude. I mean, I had to bring in my Star Wars, dude. So y'all bear with me real quick. Run it down for you real quick, as you knew who they are, knew what they are already. You know, the first one being, you know, do or do not. There is no try.
Right.
You know.
Right.
That's my boy Yoda, dude. You know, from Empire Strikes Back. Harrison Ford, you know, this is kind of unusual. Most people recognize this being one that's really cool, but it is one that's really cool. Is, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside when he cuts the tauntaun open to save Luke's life.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Another one from Empire, yeah.
Yep. And then you got your boy Lando, man. Well, hello there. Well, what have we here when he meets Princess Leia for the first time? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. You truly belong amongst the stars.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I cut the clouds. Yeah,
that's it. And of course, the pièce de résistance, man, is the Force is with you, young Luke Skywalker, but you're not a Jedi yet.
Yes, yo.
That was my shit, yo. That was my shit. Because you felt this farm boy, man, was about to take on more than what he could actually handle. You know what I'm saying? Like he was there trying to bone up for his friends. You know, he was told by, you know, Master Yoda or whoever it was training him that, you know, you're not ready for this yet, don't go. You know, even Ben told him, man, you're not ready for this yet, don't go. And based on the fact that Ben knew, and they both knew that he was his father, they were telling him, don't go facing yet, because, you know, you're not ready for that yet. You're not ready for that mental manipulation yet. And the Sith are treacherous, but he went anyway, for his friends. And he's like, because Yoda told him, like, you know, he was like, you know, I have to go to save my friends. He's like, well, no, you're going there. He knows you have to go there to save your friends. You'll be manipulated by him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, so he told him, don't go, and he went, and, you know, got the untimely truth, which I thought at the time was a lie, because, like, come on, man, this can't be the truth, dude. You know what I mean? He's just trying to do some manipulation tactics, and it turned out it was the truth, so
yeah.
It's pretty cool. And then the last one from Star Wars is, two more. One is, come along, R2, which is C-3PO. You know, he's always, you know.
Come on, R2.
Right? Come along, R2, you know. Right? And then that's no moon. That's no moon by Obi-Wan, you know, or Ben Kenobi. That's no moon. That's a space station, you know.
Yeah. Like, I think that one, too, as far as Star Wars is concerned, especially like A New Hope and Empire, is those were movies that were happening at a particular time. The technology was so new looking. The take on science fiction was so fresh, you know, considering how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters were so likable, you know, those archetypes were so likable and so well cast, and people just started to pull from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that you can, if you're watching any movie, you'll be able to pull something out of it. It may not be an iconic line that gets repeated, but you'll find any movie that you can pull things out of it that are, you know, that are philosophically appealing to you or aspirational to you in some way.
Mm.
Even if the film is not great, you know what I'm saying? Even if the characters are not super well written, there'll be a few sparkling moments where you can find something. Because I found that to be the case with many movies that aren't necessarily great movies, but, you know, but there are things that I was able to take from them. So what about you, Adrian?
I was going to say you hit upon a point that I was going to make in terms of the staying power of a lot of one-liners. And the reason for that is that they do hit upon some type of truth, whether it be in a comedic way or in a heartfelt way or just something where, you know, when you hear it, your response is not only was that a cool line, but yeah, that is absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why a lot of those things have staying power. It's what the, it's not only what the character would say in that moment, but some of the best ones reveal some type of truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, some type of life truth or whatnot, just summarized in this one particular chestnut, so to speak. And I was also going to say, yeah, and in regards to what you were saying, D, just then about, you know, one-liners from Star Wars or whatnot, I do feel like you're most receptive to one-liners and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
as a moviegoer when, between, you know, being a teenager and maybe like your mid to late 20s.
Mm.
I mean, after that, you're still watching movies and whatnot, but you more appreciate the technical aspect of, oh man, that was very well written. That was a great turn of phrase and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that the one-liners that really stick with you come within that time frame.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? The movies that you see within that frame.
I don't disagree at all, but I would say it depends on, I mean, I think there's something to be said for like the poetic resonance of that person is doing it. Like you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
You know nothing, Jon Snow. Is, you know, I mean, you know, that sticks with you, man. It's like, wow, that's one of those things I expected to like or get with, but it you definitely can understand it and get with it. So, yeah. But no, you're right, man. I think at certain times in your life, you're definitely more receptive to those things, and you do find yourself gravitating more towards those. I gotta say, man, I might have said it before, but we can, I've got something to say.
It's better to burn out than to fade away.
My man, the Kurgan. Clancy Brown, yeah.
Yes, from Highlander.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the truth. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing? How are you doing? What do you call them? Were they nuns, yo? Sisters, how are you doing, sisters?
Yeah, he puts the tongue out. Or D, the other one that's in there too, man, also by the Kurgan.
Right.
When the prostitute comes to his room, hi, I'm Candy.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Oh, that was such a great turn of phrase. Like, oh, man. This works both ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, her name is Candy, and to him, she is Candy.
Right?
Oh, man. So well done.
The Kurgan, yo.
Yeah, yo.
That concludes this episode of Sidebar Forever, hosted by Dwight Clark, Swain Hunt, and Adrian Johnson. You can find us online at sidebarforever.com. Any emails or questions can be directed to us at sidebarforever@gmail.com. And also, subscribe to us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Sidebar Forever is copyright 2020. Dwight Clark, Swain Hunt, and Adrian Johnson.